All right now. All right. We're calling out favorite scriptures. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. Be still and know that I am God. I have begun a good work in you, and I will finish it. Be anxious for nothing, but in all things, through prayer and supplication, make your requests known unto God. We're calling out favorite scriptures. Call it out. I'm trying to get you guys used to participating in this seminar, anyway. Calling out favorite scriptures. Who else? Go ahead, break that ice. Micah 6, the walk humbly before your God, that one? Good stuff. Anyone else want to share their favorite scripture? But in all your ways acknowledge him, and he shall direct your paths. Man, those are powerful words of God. Powerful words of God. Be still and know that I am God.
Blessed are those who hunger and thirst for righteousness, for they will be filled.
For they will be filled. Aren't those words encouraging? I bet you can probably quote a scripture for every time you had a difficult moment in your life. Would I be accurate in that? Or every time you had a great success, there was a scripture, a verse that you held on to and said, yes, it has been fulfilled. One of those verses for me was Proverbs 3, 5, and 6. Trusting in the Lord with all your heart. Lean not to your own understanding, but in all your ways acknowledge me, and I will direct your path. That was the scripture that right after I came to Christ, that was the word he gave me. I wasn't raised in the church. I didn't have parents that were believers. And I didn't have friends that were believers. So most of my growing up life, I just grew up. Did things that people do when they don't know who God is. And I did say this is the real room, yes? So I can freely share some things about my life, yes? And you're not going to go around and judge me for it, are you?
No.
Will you judge me for this?
No.
Thank you. So yeah, I didn't grow up with Christian parents. In fact, I didn't even grow up with parents. My parents married when they were like 16, 17 years old, had kids back to back. There's four of us. And that was just pretty young to have four kids, right? Well, unfortunately, my dad did some things that my mother was not happy with. And so she said, you go out the door and your kids going with you. So I didn't live with my mother, I lived with my father. But my father was a young man. And he was pretty handsome. So don't you know, the ladies were all after him. And so was he. So he spent a lot of time with girlfriends. And so the four of us, we kind of raised ourselves. And we did it the best way we could. Did we do a good job? Probably not, because I got pregnant when I was 14 years old. Things just kind of happen when you don't have parents to kind of tell you what to do and what not to do, right? So you get into trouble, and I got into trouble. It's very unfortunate, though, that she got sick when she was about 9 months old, and then she passed away. I was devastated, didn't know what to do. Didn't know who to turn to, other than to another man so I could have another baby. I wanted to love, and I wanted to be loved, and all I knew was maybe that's the way to get it. So that's what I did. Got married, had another baby. Well, you know, I mean, it didn't work out. I mean, it's not like we loved each other. I just wanted a baby. And I had a baby. And then throughout my life, I just lived life. You know, drugs, sex, rock and roll. Right? It's how you live when you don't know to live any differently. Right? But then one day, God got a hold of me. I've always searched for something, but I was looking for love in all the wrong places, looking for love in too many faces. I was looking. And because I was looking, God eventually brought this woman into my life who invited me to a church. And she had been inviting me to church for a long time, but I didn't want to go. I'm busy. Well, by that time, I had two kids, you know, single parent. Any single parents in this room today? Nope. It's rough trying to raise kids by yourself. So raising two kids by myself, I'm too busy to go to church. But one day I eventually did go to church. And there was something about that service. I felt something that I've never felt before. And it was a good feeling. And so I decided to go back. And then I went back, and then I went back. But the miracle didn't take place until I went to a Bible study. I went to a women's Bible study, and in that Bible study, after they did their lesson, which I don't even remember the lesson, but what I do remember is the prayer after. We gathered in a circle and we began to pray. And the next thing I know, I am on the floor. I am bawling my eyes out. And in that moment, it was as if God showed me my entire life. When I had the child, when she died, when I got married and got married again, he's like showing me all of these things that I have experienced. And he said, daughter, I was with you the whole entire time. I have had my eye on you, but your eyes weren't on me. And right then and there, I was like, you've been with me? I haven't been alone? No, you haven't. And from that point on, January 1990, I will never forget that moment. I have not turned my back on God. I have continued to follow God since that moment. And so Proverbs 3:5, trust me. With all your heart, don't lean to your own understanding. Acknowledge me and follow me, and I will direct your paths. And I can tell you what, God has been true to his word. He can't lie. God cannot lie. So when we're talking about faith, and many of you have been here the whole entire week, and I thank you. Thank you for being here. Thank you for engaging. Thank you for your kindness. Thank you for making my Mount Hermon experience this time around less painful and more pleasurable. So I really want to thank all of you for that. Yes, you can clap for you. I'm going to clap for you. You clap for you. Because it has been and could have been a very, very difficult time. But you guys have made it easy. So before we begin our last time together, our last message, Releasing the Fight, I want to share with you something that I wrote after Bill spoke this morning. Faith. We did not collaborate. None of the speakers did. And so he's talking about faith. And I am feeling like God is just really trying to get this in us for some reason. So we got to get it, right? And so he talked about three things about faith. Total dependence, which we've talked about. But he added this humble release, which I thought was very cool. And then the step-by-step confidence. And so this is what God gave me, and I'm going to share it with you. When we totally depend on God, we trust his leading, his loving, and his learning. We don't get to choose or control where he leads and what he teaches. We humbly accept without fully understanding. When we trust God completely, as he said, we trust God. I am going to sit on this stool. I am not going to have a plan B. And guess what? If I trust God, I can't tell God where to take me, where to lead me. We don't have that control. We trust that he's going to take us to some amazing places or some amazing experiences. So I am struggling a little bit with sharing something with you. Even though I said this is the safe place and that I can be vulnerable with you, this one is a little sensitive for me. But I find that I think it might bless you, and I think it might heal me a little bit. So as we're talking about faith and trusting in God and having God to lead us and trusting where he leads us, and we talk about the difficult times that God brings us in. And we've talked about, Sherwood passing and how that shattered my faith. I want to share another situation with you. I'm just going to jump. Tell me to jump.
Jump,
preacher, jump. Okay, I guess I'll jump. So in 2009, I was diagnosed with cancer. Out of nowhere. Now, it wasn't a cancer that is probably very familiar to you all. But I had this, I had a sore in my tongue, in my mouth. And it just wouldn't go away. I went to the dentist, went to the doctor, did everything that they told me to do. Rinse your mouth with salt water, do this, do that. They put me on steroids, and then I blew up like a house. But nothing made this sore in my tongue go away. Well, finally, they decided to do a biopsy. And when the biopsy came back, they said, "Oh, you have cancer." And I'm like, "What the H? Me? Am I? And I don't even know how. I don't smoke. How does that happen?" Of course, I'm telling the story a little more calmer than how it happened. I want you to know this. When he told me, I was scared to death. I freaked out, panicked, what, how, oh my gosh, I'm going to die. Well, then after you go through all of those emotions and you cry and you call your family and the family comes in and everybody is, oh my gosh, what next? I don't know what next. I have a doctor's appointment in the following week and he'll tell me. Had my appointment, and then he says, well, there's lots of tests that we need to do, so it's going to take a couple of months for us to get you into this and this and this. And I'm like, oh my gosh, but then the cancer is going to spread, and then what? He said, I'm sorry, we can't get you in any sooner. And I'm like, okay. So I go to God. I'm like, God, what's going to happen to me? What's going to happen to my kids? What's going to happen to my husband? What is going to happen? And then I ask the question, why me? Why did I get it? Lord, I am a worship leader. I sing for you. I speak for you. I teach for you. How did this happen to me? And right there in my kitchen, God said to me, why not you? Should I give it to someone else? Oh, no, Lord, no. Did you say you trusted me? Yes, Lord, I trust you. Didn't you say you loved me? Yes, Lord, I love you. Don't you know that you were bought with a price, that you are not your own? Yes, Lord, I know I'm not my own. Then don't I have the right to do with you whatever I want to do? Yes, Lord. I guess. Then let's walk this out. I'm like, so you chose me to go through this? Yes. But God, whatever you wanted to teach me, I'm sure there was another way. There's another way. And God, if you want to heal me miraculously, because I know God still does that, if you want to do that, and I will preach to the world that you're a healer of cancer. I will do it. And he said, no, I am not going to heal you. I said, what? You're not? He said, no. I want to do something greater for you. In my mind, I can't think of anything greater. Just say the word, snap your finger, breathe on me, and it'll be gone, and I will tell the world. I know a lot of people, God. Christian, not Christian, I will tell the world, and your name will be glorified, and many people will come to you. He said, nope, not going to do it. So then I had surgery. Now, the interesting thing about that was when I went in, they said, we cannot tell you how much of your tongue we are going to have to remove until you go under the knife. How scary is that? Look, I sing. Jesus, what if I go in there and they take my tongue out and I have no voice? I can't speak. God, how am I going to sing? How am I going to worship? How am I going to do whatever it is that you want me to do? I said to God, God, I need this. I need my tongue to praise you. And I will never forget the response that the Lord gave me when I said those words. I need my tongue to praise you. He said to me, if that's what you need to praise me, then you and I have some kind of misconnection, miscommunication. There's something wrong. Basically, he said, there's something wrong with our relationship. Are you hearing me? If you need to have a certain thing to praise me, there is something wrong with our relationship. In other words, we don't need to rely on anything. If I don't have a tongue, I'm going to praise you with my hands. If I don't have a tongue, I'm going to praise you in my dance. If I don't have something, I'm going to find another way to give you praise. As I sit here in this room sometimes when we're doing worship, and we're singing unto God, I'm like, you know that passage of scripture that says if I had 10,000 tongues, I'd praise you with everyone? We have one tongue and we don't even give God praise. I have half a tongue and I think I praise. I'm going to give God praise like I have 100%. We are not to be concerned of what we don't have, but what we do have. Sometimes we get in situations where God is asking us to do something, and we make those excuses. But I don't have this, but I don't have that, and I can't do this because of this. God doesn't, but what do you have? What do you have? We have fear sometimes, people. But we also get weak. We have weaknesses. And I think what God is trying to teach us this week, again, is this totally dependence on Him. Even when you have limitations. For me, I get a little self-conscious when I speak and when I sing. Because I know what's going on in my mouth, but y'all don't know. Right? You may look at me and go, wow, she's all in it. I'm scared. I get scared. And I wonder, God, can you still use me in my limitations, in my weaknesses, when I feel like I am not qualified? When I feel that there is somebody else that can do this a whole lot better. God, are you asking me to do this? God's strength is made perfect in our... Isn't that a beautiful thing? That we can be weak and broken before God and know that His strength will come inside of us, come out of us, and that we'll be able to fulfill whatever it is that He said. So when I think about weaknesses, let's go into Hebrews, where we have been all week. Hebrews chapter 11, verse 32 and 34. I'm going to read that. And you can turn to it while I'm reading. Hebrews 11, 32, 34. How much more do I need to say? It would take too long to recount the stories of faith. The faith of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, David, Samuel, and all the prophets. By faith, these people overthrew kingdoms, ruled with justice, and received what God had promised them. They shut the mouths of lions, quenched the flames of fire, and escaped death by the edge of the sword. Their weakness was turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. Their weaknesses were turned to strength. They became strong in battle and put whole armies to flight. And so the first person mentioned in this passage is Gideon. We haven't talked about the faith of Gideon, have we? Now it's your turn. You guys are ready, right? You knew it was coming. It took a longer time for me to get there, but now it's here. What do we know about Gideon? Go for it. Okay. Okay. And what did God ask Gideon to do? Specifically, do you know? Okay. Okay. All right. So let's go to Judges chapter 6. Seems like the children of Israel were always fighting. They always had to fight, and they were getting misplaced and had to fight this army and that army and do this and do that. It's like, man, can't they get a break? And his story almost sounds like Moses, you know? Let's start with Judges chapter 6, verse 7. It says, when they cried out to the Lord because of Midian, so the children of Israel and Midian were at odds. And the Lord sent a prophet to the Israelites. He said, this is what the Lord, the God of Israel, says. I brought you up out of slavery in Egypt. I rescued you from the Egyptians and from all who oppressed you. I drove out your enemies and gave you their land. I told you, I am the Lord your God. You must not worship the gods of the Amorites in whose land you now live, but you have not listened to me. Verse 11. Then the angel of the Lord came and sat beneath the great tree of Ophrah, which belonged to Joash of the clan of Abiezer. Gideon, son of Joash, was threshing wheat at the bottom of the winepress to hide the grain from the Midianites. The angel of the Lord appeared to him and said, mighty hero, the Lord is with you. Sir, Gideon replied, if the Lord is with us, why has all of this happened to us? If God is so great, why are we still being oppressed? If God is with us, if Emmanuel is with us, why did I get cancer? If God is with us, why did my child die? If God is with us, why did we get in that car accident? If God is with us, why did I lose my job? We can say that. If God is with us, why did this happen? And where are all the miracles our ancestors told us about? Didn't they say the Lord brought us out of Egypt? But now the Lord has abandoned us and handed us over to the Midianites. Then the Lord turned to him and said, go with the strength you have and rescue Israel from the Midianites. I am sending you. But Gideon replied, how can I rescue Israel? My clan is the weakest tribe in Manasseh. God, you're asking me to do something, but we're not strong. We're the weakest. And you want us to do what? Gideon did not feel like he was qualified. He had limitations. His weakness was that his tribe, he did not believe that his tribe was strong enough to handle the Midianites. And so what did Gideon do? If God was with us, and if you're telling me now you want me to deliver the Israelites out of the hand of the Midianites, just like Moses delivered the children of Israel out, what did Gideon do? Yes, Drew. He asked for proof. This is how weak Gideon was. He's like, you know, I heard you did this, and now you want me to do this. And if you're really, then all these things wouldn't have happened. But okay, if it's really you, show me the money. Show me the money. Show me that you are the same God of Israel that I have heard about. Do we know what he asked him to do? Just by memory. And if you don't, I have it written down. Okay, he did the fleece, yes. Make the fleece wet, dry all around, and then? Then he reversed it, absolutely. And then something about cooking a meal for an angel, right? And then the fire absorbed the meat on the rock. So now he's like, wow, you did all those things. Okay, so you must really be God. Okay, so let's do this thing. So then what happens? God says, okay, let's go. All right, me and my 32,000 warriors are going to take over the Midianites. And what did God say to him? Okay, now think about this for a minute. You're the weakest tribe. You're going up against the Midianites, right? And they probably have hundreds of thousands. You're the weakest link. And now you're telling me 32,000 is too much? Oh, wow. When God asks us to do something, and we're operating out of this weakness of feeling like I'm not qualified, sometimes we think that we need more than what we really need. So then God says what? We're going to scale your army down. And what did he scale it down to? 10,000 first. 22,000 left. They said, if you scared, leave. They said, I'm out. This ain't going to work. Y'all going to lose. They left. 10,000 stayed. So then what happened with that? Do you remember? God divided them into two groups. And he says, go to the stream and watch them. See who drinks water like this and who drinks water with their mouth to the stream. Right? And then he said, pick the ones that drink the water with their hands. And do you know how many that turned out to be? 300. You want me to go to war with 300 men? I love God. I love the way he thinks, right? God does not look at the situation like we do. This is how we walk by faith and not by sight. We are not to allow what we see to determine what we do. That was good. You should write that down, right? Because if we look at the situation, it's going to be overwhelming. And we're going to be paralyzed by fear, and then we won't do a thing. We will be paralyzed and do nothing. And then God's will not be done. But then, I love God. So he tells Gideon, 300 men. And then he says this thing I think is so great. In Judges chapter 7, I believe it's around verse 11, he said, you know what, Gideon, I know you're scared. I've proven to you who I am, but I know you're scared. And since I know you're scared, that's okay. He didn't kick him out and say, because you're scared, I can't use you. Because you're scared, you don't have faith in me. He didn't say that. What he said was, Gideon, I know that you're scared. And since you're scared, I want you to do me a favor. I want you to go down the hill a little ways, and you're going to hear something that I think might encourage you. So Gideon did exactly what the Lord told him. He went down a little ways and heard the Midianites talking about, oh, we saw a vision. And they were talking about this vision. And the way Gideon interpreted that vision, he was like, oh, snap. They're scared of us. We're going to win this battle with just 300 men. I love how God comforts us. God knows us intimately, and he provides for whatever we need. There is a passage of scripture, Isaiah 43. Go there real quickly, because I don't know where the time went, but it's almost gone. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Isaiah 43. Oh, Isaiah 43, but now, O Jacob, listen to the Lord who created you. O Israel, the one who formed you. He says, do not be afraid, for I have ransomed you. I have called you by my name. You are mine. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through deep waters, I will be with you. When you go through rivers of difficulty, you will not drown. When you walk through the fire of oppression, you will not be burned up. The flames will not consume you. I am the Lord your God, the Holy One of Israel, your Savior. I gave Egypt as a ransom for your freedom. I gave Ethiopia and Seba in your place. Others were given in exchange for you. I traded their lives for yours. Because you are precious to me, you are honored, and I love you. Where it says, but now, O Jacob, you can put your name. O now, Charlene, listen to the Lord who has created you. I love you. I am with you. Verse 5, do not be afraid, for I am with you. God is constantly telling us that he is with us. We are going to go through difficult times, no doubt. They're going to happen. But through those difficult times, God is with us. In our weaknesses, in our limitations, when we think we're doing great, God is like, you know what? It's impossible for me to leave you. So therefore, together in this wilderness, I'm with you. On the high mountain, I am with you. Are you going to be challenged? Absolutely. Am I going to give you everything that you think you need to do the thing that I've asked you to do? Absolutely not. But you're going to have faith to believe that what you have is enough. Turn with me to 2 Corinthians 12 and 9, and then we're going to pray. I have been feeling us from the beginning of this week that we were going to end with a time of some deep prayer and worship, and I hope you're okay with that. In order for us to seal the deal, seal everything that we have learned this week, we want to seal it in prayer. So here we are, 2 Corinthians 12 and 9. And this is about Paul, and Paul is saying, you know, I have this thorn in my flesh, and, you know, I keep asking you. He says in verse 8, three different times I begged the Lord to take it away. Each time he said, my grace is all you need. My power works best in weakness. So now I am glad to boast about my weaknesses so that the power of Christ can work through me. That's why I take pleasure in my weaknesses and in the insults, the hardships, the persecutions, and troubles that I suffer for Christ. For when I am weak, I am made strong. Brothers and sisters, don't be afraid when you feel like you're weak and you just don't have enough strength or enough this or enough that. God says it's not about what you don't have, but what you do have. And he can work with the little that you have. He can do it. He can do it. And he will do it. So I want you to stand to your feet, or if you want to sit, sitting is great. But I want us to take a minute to pray. Be honest with God about our fears, about our weaknesses, about thinking that we're not qualified to do whatever, feeling like I can't do this because of this. We're putting limits on God. There are no limits to God. God is limitless. There are no boundaries. You cannot put God in a box. I don't care how big the box is. He cannot be put in a box. God is too awesome for that. He's too glorious for that. He wants you again, just like we said last night. Yesterday, unleash your power without fear. Greater is he that is within you than he that is in the world. God, the holy God of Israel, Isaac, Jacob, whoever is in you, residing in you, waiting for you to say, come out of me, God. Do what you want to do through me, God. I am not my own. I don't belong to me anymore. Whatever you want to do with me, do. If it's going to hurt me, give me the strength to bear the pain. Give me the strength to bear the humiliation. Give me the strength to not be afraid of my weaknesses or my limitations. I have to trust that you are with me. Your rod and your staff is going to comfort me. Yea, though I walk through the valley, I'm going to walk through the valley. But thou art with me. So God, in this place, in the hearts and the minds of your daughters and of your sons, you have already taken them on journey upon journey upon journey. They have already experienced pain. They have already experienced victories. They have experienced probably a spectrum of different emotions on this earth. But God, from this week forward, I am asking you to give them that new perspective. I am asking you to just infiltrate their spirit and their mind so that they are able to look at situations differently. They're going to handle them differently. They're going to see them differently. They're going to operate in their families differently. Husbands are going to treat their wives differently. Husbands are going to honor and love their wives differently. They're going to look at them as creatures and creations of a holy God that you have gifted them with. you have entrusted these beautiful women with these men. God, have your way. Wives are going to look differently and treat their husbands differently. You are going to unleash your unconditional love in their spirit, and it's going to flow on to their husbands. Their husbands will be blessed, and their children will be blessed, and their family surrounding them will be blessed. God, I know that you're asking some of us to walk the hard walk without our spouses or with spouses that have limitations. Oh, God, have mercy. Oh, God, have mercy. And allow your grace, your grace, your grace, your greatness, your grace, and your goodness to help us walk it out with a good attitude. You can do it, God, and we're saying we want it. Say with me, church, I want it. I want it. I want it. All that you are, God, we want it. All that you are, God, I want it. Difficult children, God, give us the wisdom how to deal with difficult children. God, our teenagers, God, give us the wisdom how to raise our teenage girls and our teenage boys. Teach us how to raise them so that they will not make mistakes that we did. But God, even if they do, your grace is going to be sufficient for them too. Hallelujah. Thank you, Jesus. For you are with them too. In our understanding of who you are, God, open up our understanding of your spirit and of your word. And let us not be afraid or fearful to perform it. In Jesus' name, I pray and I thank you. Oh, God. Because you're a good, good father is who you are. Is who you are, is who you are, and I am loved by you. Is who I am. 'Cause you're a good, good father. I want you to declare that. Stand to your feet and declare it to the heavenlies. You're a good, good father. And I'm loved by you. You're a good, good father. We need to know that he is a good, good father. Come on, I want you to declare it. Your good, good father is who you are. in all of your weaknesses and all of your limitations. We are loved by God. That's who we are. That's who he is. And now he's perfect in all of ways. Come on, tell him. To us. Come on, he is perfect. Yes, Lord. Because you're a good, good Father. It's who you are. It's who you are. It's who you are. And I am loved by you. Who I am.
It's who I am. It's who I am.
Bless the name of Jesus. God is a good, good Father. And this whole week, he has been showing us his love in different ways and through different people. I know I've experienced it. I have met some amazing people. Vicky, Elsa, Melissa, Christy, Linda. There's all of you. All of you have, you have actually blessed me. You have blessed me. God has used so many of you to speak into my life. And I love that about God. I'm not just here to share with you. You're here to share God with me. And so I leave here with a heart full of love coming from you, God the Father. So I want to thank you. I want to thank you. And I want to thank you for blessing me. I want to share two things before we leave out of here, of just a testimony of how crazy God works. One of our friends here, her son, opened up a fortune cookie. Where is my friend? Are you here? Oh, she's not here. Oh, my gosh. Okay. Well, she just won, huh? The Nana's here. The banana. The Nana's here. Okay, I put the fortune cookie saying in my Bible, and it's not in here. Do you have the picture of it? Oh, darn. Okay, well, in the fortune cookie. A fortune cookie. Remember, yesterday I said God speaks through anything and everything. He speaks through movies. I said X-Men. I didn't say something spiritual like the War Room. He spoke through X-Men. He spoke through a fortune cookie. And in the fortune cookie, it said, listen to what you know, not by what you fear. Yes, that's how my face looked when I read it. I was like, and then I did this. Woo! I was like, oh my God. That's what I've been saying. And it's like, and then boom.
Confirmation.
I love how God confirms. So that's a blessing. God is in the midst of us. And then there's just testimonies of people who have shared with me. I want to thank you for sharing with me what God has done for you through the words, through the messages. Thank you for sharing how God has increased your faith, how you look at faith differently. I am encouraged by those of you who have already purchased the Amen All By Myself. I'm telling you, this book will bless you. It's an easy read. You'll probably read it in one night because you're going to want to. You can't put it down. And I'm not saying it because it's about us, but because of the experiences that God taught us in those 4 years, a walk of faith that you would not believe. So those of you that have purchased it, I definitely will sign it for you. And that's in the bookstore. And his sold-out book which is about character. You want to get this character. That's also in the bookstore. Thank you again, everyone. If you have questions, I'm letting you go early. If you want to have a seat and if you want to continue to dialogue, I am more happy to do that. And